At Red Barn, our pet food ingredients work overtime. They aren't just there for show. Dandelion greens work to maintain a healthy digestive system. Salmon oil works to enhance the immune system. Green-lipped mussels work to support joint health. These hardworking ingredients support your dog's active, healthy life. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free stews, the only pet food with Red Barn Bully Sticks.
Welcome to Life's Issues with Maura and Jono, a show created to help you tackle life's greatest issues, from personal development to relationships, health, and business. Life's Issues is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Maura and Jono.
Hey everyone, welcome to Life's Issues with Lauren Giorno. I'm your host, Lauren Giorno, coming to you live all the way from Toronto, Canada, every Thursday at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tough Talk Radio. I'm so happy that you are joining me here again today. And as a certified high-performance coach, my mission is to help as many people as possible transform themselves so that they are consistently living their best, most authentic, fulfilled, purposeful, happiest, and successful life. So, in addition to bringing you experts from around the world every week to discuss a range of topics from personal development to health, business, spirituality, relationships, and even psychology, I'm also going to take a few minutes each week to share with you a high-performance coaching highlight, and what I coach my clients on, all with the intention of inspiring and transforming you to a bolder life. So my high-performance highlight for this week is in regards to really taking action and doing the things that we know work. It was so interesting. I was at a conference the past few days in the States, and I literally saw played out over the weekend some of the key things that I talk about all the time, the things that I coach my clients on, and just seeing it evidenced in real life, the distinction between those people that really embrace and take action on these things and those people that don't. And the things that really stood out for me as I, you know, interacted with people, observed people, and participated in the weekend was first and foremost about taking responsibility for your life and the choices we make. You know, the reality is that I think most of us have at some stage in our life been through challenges, hardships. Some people definitely, you know, have been through much more significant and devastating experiences than others. And not to disregard that or minimize it in any way, but to really realize that at some point we need to take responsibility for where we're going. And, you know, what's happened has happened. We can't change it. But we can take responsibility and change how we move forward. And, you know, that was something that was so evident and easy to see between those people that have done that and those people that were kind of still stuck in the past. And then tied into that is, in order to do that, you need to change the way you think, because ultimately, you know, the thinking that got you to where you are, or and particularly if you're stuck, is not the thinking that's going to get you to where you want to go. And so to look at that and see, you know, how are you keeping yourself where you are, and how could you change the way you look at things and see things, so that you're open to different and other possibilities and solutions that will take you forward. overall, what stood out for me was something that I've spoken about a lot, and what I know other people, you know, have written about and shown, and that who we spend the most time with is who we're going to be most similar to. And so if you're not happy with where you're at in your life, if you're not, you know, it may be good, but it's not where you want it to be, you need to look at who you're spending most of your time with, because whatever attitudes, perspectives, habits, lifestyle, ability for income, even that those people have, that's what you're going to be like. So you may need to, you know, seek out new people to connect with and spend time with, so that you can change where you're at. And so, again, that kind of ties into the next point that was also so evident, and that is that at some point you're going to need to do things differently. And it's kind of tied in, like, if you need to think differently to get somewhere different, you also need to do things differently. And that's going to require you to step out of your comfort zone. It's going to require you to maybe do things that are challenging or may seem scary. But if you keep doing the same thing, then you're going to keep creating the same results. And again, it was just the reason I'm bringing these up is because I don't know why, but it just was so evident amongst the group of people that I was with, and to see the differences in how people were operating in these different areas. And then finally, the last thing that I kind of wanted to touch on and that I noticed is what your level of self-awareness and intuition is, and how connected you are with that, how in touch you are with that. Because at the end of the day, no matter what advice there is out there, and including my own, and, you know, no matter how much science and research there is about something or not, no matter how many strategies we see that work for millions of people, none of these things are a one-size-fits-all. And to recognize that just because something may work for other people, even hundreds or thousands of people, it does not necessarily mean that it's going to work for you, that it's right for you, and it's the best thing for you to do. And to have that awareness and understand if something is working for you or not. And if it's not, to have the confidence, to have the courage to go a different route, to try something different, even though everyone else may be going in the same way. So just really wanted to remind you of these things, to just inspire you to take action, to be an independent thinker, to think outside the box, and to really identify what going to serve you best in getting where you want to be in life. So that is my high performance highlight for this week. And before I introduce my first guest, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but just want to let you know that if you'd like to be part of the conversation or join the show, you can do so by calling in to 347-989-1363 at any time. And just press 1, and my producer, Tony, will bring you onto the show. And then, of course, you can listen in online by going to lifeissueswithlaurenjournal.com. We would love to have you join us. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then I'll be up with my guest for today.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tuff Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves to the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Lauren Jano is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Life's Issues with Lauren Jorno, a show specifically intended to help you transform to a bolder life. I'm your host, Lauren Jorno, and I'm thrilled to introduce my guest today, Maura Sweeney. She has a phenomenal list of credentials, experience, just amazing, but in a nutshell, what she talks about and where her work is in the area of helping people live a happy life. So whether you're a college student considering the future, a millennial looking for a career with meaning, a midlifer needing a new paradigm for success, Maura has something valuable to offer you. She's an author, speaker, podcaster, Huffington Post contributor, and so much more. Her mantra is living happy inside out, and she inspires everyone toward that pursuit. Maura, welcome to the show.
Lauren, thanks. I'm really happy to be here, and what a great Kinds of Issues today.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on the show. You know, as I was just saying, your bio and your experience and everything is just so impressive. And so much that I wanted to talk to you about. So I thought we'd kick it off. And it kind of ties into what I was saying at the beginning of my show. So I know at some point you were going to law school, right?
Yes.
And,
I was.
You know, and if I think of, you know, so many people aspire to be able to do that. And it was something that you chose to walk away from. And so I just wanted to find out, just starting way back then, what led you to that decision and what happened?
Well, it's funny. Things always go back to law school for me. It actually didn't start in law school. My whole quest of what I do today about living happy inside out and being a speaker, a podcaster, Huffington Post contributor, et cetera, is all because I understand what it's like for people to grow up in an environment, and it could be anywhere, in anyone's, where certain standards are set, certain cookie cutters are arranged, mm-hmm. and you are supposed to fill in the blank. And, you know, being an attorney might have been an excellent profession for some. It just did not excite me, and it didn't connect with my inner passions. And so my leaving law school was not just leaving law school. I was leaving expectations that I had been groomed for nearly 20 years. So it was parental and family expectations. It was following in the footsteps of others who had come before me. And it was also the willingness to step off the path with an intent to find out and connect with what I felt was important in my life, what would give me joy and what would fuel my personal passions, because I couldn't imagine doing something in a mediocre fashion. I have to put myself into something fully. And so by getting off the path, it was not easy, but it also launched me into this journey of exploring new things and finding out where my venue was, where my skills could best be put to work, and where I could feel most genuine, authentic, and truly happy. And that's been kind of my story.
I love that. You know, like I've, you know, had probably many similar experiences in my life, in terms of, you know, and we probably all have expectations and expected to go down a certain path, and choosing to do something different, often not to the joy of people around us. And it's so interesting because, you know, I noticed that this weekend at this conference that I was at, that I was speaking about, that path is never going to be the easy thing to do, but it's most likely always going to be the right thing. And, you know, for people to realize that often the right choices for us to make are seldom the easy choices.
I agree. In fact, I was listening very closely to your observations that you shared from being at that conference, and you used the word intuition. You talked about taking responsibility for our life and the choices we make. And for some reason, I feel like we should pause right here for different listeners. You know, some people may have expectations put on them that are for what is perceived to be a high value. But there are others that may grow up in an environment where the expectations put upon them are low or non-expectations. And for some reason, this is hitting me right now, so hopefully there's somebody listening and paying attention. When we do go to that place of intuition, when we get away, let's say, from our intellect and our training, and we tune into our inner person and we say, what is it that I think about? What is it that I dream about? When nobody's looking or paying attention, where am I living? And that is our string to stepping out. And here's the amazing thing. We can become great in a number of ways. We don't need to be circumnavigating the globe. We don't need to be TV personalities. We can be great because there is something that's important to us that we take the time, we pursue it, we become excellent at it, and literally the world steps aside and makes room and says, that's the expert. That's the person that is contributing something to a greater cause. And that's the realm I like to live in, because sometimes even society could give us a system of values that maybe in the past worked or maybe for some are good. But not everybody is looking for the same set of what's great for them.
Right, absolutely. So if you think back to when you made that decision to leave law school, what would you say it was that gave you the confidence, the strength, the courage to do that? Because it, I'm sure, wasn't an easy decision, but yet you did it anyhow.
Lauren, it was so hard. When I look back at it, I felt like I was carrying a cadaver on my shoulder, and the cadaver was another me. It was a dead me. And I'm sure there are people listening that could understand this. I was a first child. I was academically inclined, but I did what I was told. I wanted to be pleasing to those around me in authority. And the closer I got to finishing my law school studies, the more dead I felt. And I literally felt like, oh my gosh, can I make it? And then can I commit myself to a 40-year career in the state of New Jersey, which was a place I didn't want to live. And so my stepping out required, it was a decision for life. How's that? I literally knew that if I wanted to have a life that mattered and a life that was going to give me a sense of vitality, I needed to step out, as frightening as it appeared. I just knew I couldn't keep going on that path. Otherwise, I felt totally drained.
Yeah, I so understand that. So once you made that decision, how did you find your right track and your right path? Which I think for people is also scary. They go, well, if I don't do this, then what am I going to do? You know, some people are very clear of where they want to go, what they want to do, and some people are not. They just know that they don't want to be where they are.
Right, and that's why a lot of people stay in that comfort zone. It might be the misery zone, but they don't know an alternative. In my case, I just had to go out and start. I started as a recruiter, an executive recruiter, and I always loved interviewing people and getting stories. So I ended up interviewing very, very high-level candidates for Fortune companies. And then I ended up moving to Florida with my husband. The telecom industry was opening at the time. It was the only job I was offered. This may be something somebody wants to hear. I'm thinking, I don't even want the telecom industry, and yet I moved in, learned how to sell, and very quickly was moved into management and learned I was a far more effective manager and leader than I was as a salesperson because I love developing people, hiring the right team, creating environments in which people could really broadcast their talents, work together. And to this day, I look back on that era and I'm so grateful for it. It wasn't for me this very straight path, but my path to find out where my skills were, what I loved, what would make me happy, and what really felt authentic for me, ended up with a 10-year career in the telecom industry where I developed a lot of skills. I ended up being a homeschooling mom, believe it or not, when I had our daughter, but I helped my husband launch a company. And at midlife, with all the previous experience I had, not to mention travel, which is now exceeding over 50 countries, I wanted to take everything I was and step out yet again. So we closed a very comfortable computer business, and I launched my own personal vocation, which is what I do today as More For You, writing, public speaking, being on shows like this, and literally helping others find their way in life to what makes them feel bolder, happier, and more authentic from the inside out, literally by doing exactly what you said at the opening of this show. It's taking responsibility for our lives, our decisions, our directions, and even our reactions to things that happen to us.
And it's, you know, it's also about, you know, at some point, you know, getting really honest with yourself. I mean, we can go through life kidding ourselves that we're happy or enjoying something or convincing ourselves that we are, but that's not going to serve us in the best possible way.
You know something, you're absolutely right, and I see this all the time when I'm out speaking. I have known many people that felt like they were just sort of dying on the vine in a job or a career that was requiring more and more of them, and yet they were getting less and less out of it. And every time people have to step out, it does take a certain amount of chutzpah. And yet, what I've noticed is that even though people are fearful, require various changes in life, but that vitality starts to come back because at that moment, you need to make something new. You need to find something new. And it literally becomes a launching pad for doing the things maybe you didn't have time before or that you used excuses of being busy doing something else and never pursued. So sometimes in life, our biggest decisions and our biggest challenges could also present those touch points or stones in life that help launch us way ahead and to a happier, healthier, and more vibrant existence.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I see over and over again is mostly what people's worst fear is never really plays out that way. And so it's about just taking that first step and seeing that it's not as scary and bad as you think it's going to be or difficult, not to say that it's going to be easy, but it's definitely not playing out as your worst nightmare. And as you say, that gives you know, someone confidence to take another step and another step and just and then to just create that momentum to move forward.
I agree. You're right. So many of us stay captive to our fears, and fears may be really small fears like, oh, I'll lose my inner circle of friends. They may not approve of me because I am stepping out. And yet when we start doing it, we realize that those fears were small and that people that love us are going to love us in the future. If we fall, it's all part of the process because we get up and we go again. Biggest thing I have found is that people who are willing to step out of their comfort zone and really pursue their bigger self. And again, bigger is in the mind of the beholder. It's that matter of self-actualization. They become so much freer, happier, filled with energy. There's a vitality literally that comes from stepping out and trying something new. And the other thing is, it's amazing. You may feel like you lost some things in the process because you do need to leave things behind. But what awaits is a joy. What awaits is a joy.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to, you know, people that are listening in who feel that they are stuck and or, you know, living, as you say, on someone else's track?
You know, what I do is very simple in every conference I'm at. You know how oftentimes we're trained to think a certain way. So that's the way we're modeled. It's all of our intellect. I just ask people when they're on their own, close their eyes, put their hand below their collarbone and above their chest. And what that does is it immediately brings the attention away from the business of the mind. Quiet everything, let you listen to your soul. And the next thing I ask them to do is to think back to their childhood. What things did they think about? What did they love? What did they fantasize about when before the world told them what they were? In my case, I remember looking up at wonderful leaders, people of influence that made the world a better place. I loved being together with others. I loved uniting people rather than being in wars and dividing. And when I remind people to go to those little places that they had as a child that they were thinking about, there is a string in there from their soul. When they start following it, entertaining it, activating it, following that interest, that will ultimately translate into what makes them happy, what their curiosities and desires are. And they might have thought about it or considered it as a child in one fashion, but as we keep activating those things, it will manifest in brand new ways in our adult life. Mine, I just want to give you one example. When I was a little kid, I loved watching American Bandstand on. I want to learn how to dance. Instead, I was supposed to be a lawyer playing the piano. I didn't learn how to dance until I was 50. You talk about getting out of a comfort zone. But Lauren, when I did that, it ended up launching a series of books, The Art of Happiness. And the first book was Exiting the Comfort Zone, Dance or Die. It was literally a story of what it takes to exit your comfort zone, follow your dream, find your happiness, and become your bigger self, and find an emerging career as a result of it. So it's a similar concept, but it plays out individually for whoever that person is.
Awesome. I love that. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things is just, as you say, finding the quietness to connect with what it is you love and want to do or have enjoyed in the past. And then also just staying open to the possibility or the different possibilities in how that can show up. And that it may not happen in the way you think it will. And the more open, you know, we stay to the possibilities, the more opportunities are available to us.
I totally agree. When you use the word possibilities, it's be open, be aware, pursue those little strings, follow it. And it may show up in a different fashion, but it will be in a way that works for you today, that's meaningful for today. And maybe it hasn't even manifested yet. Maybe it's not found in your intellect or in society, but as you pursue it, you may create something new or produce something in a different form or fashion that you are waiting to do and people are waiting to see.
Absolutely. Well, Maura, I could talk to you forever. Clearly, we are on the same page on so many things. I'd love to have you back on the show at some point and just and chat about this more. But in the meantime, where can our listeners connect with you, get hold of you, find out more about you if they want to?
Well, if people listen or like to follow Huffington Post, they could look for Maura Sweeney on Huffington Post. If they're iTunes or Stitcher listeners on podcasts, it's Maura Sweeney, Living Happy Inside Out. But the easiest way is go to my website, my first name, Maura. It's Maura4U.com with the number 4 and the letter U, a little play on words, because whatever I do, I'm for you. And I'm loaded with, with blogs, with over 200 videos. I'm introducing a new Foundations and Living Happy course, and I'm also an international speaker, so people can connect with me any way they wish at moreforyou.com. And for me, I am just looking to make the world a happier place from the inside out.
Brilliant. I love it. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today. So amazing to connect with you, and I'll definitely connect with you offline as well. So thank you so much. And pleasure. We are going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
Live a choice where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live It Choice choose to make a difference. Live It Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveitchoice.com to get started.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Lauren Jano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Life Issues with Lauren Jano, a show specifically intended to help you transform to a bolder life. I'm your host, Lauren Jano, and I am thrilled to introduce my next guests, Molly Apple and Joe Dunn. They are authors, relationship coaches, lovers, and best friends. Their best-selling book, The Soulmate Experience, A Practical Guide to Creating Extraordinary Relationships, has helped thousands of people around the world create relationships that are deeply connected on all levels. And that's just a tip of the iceberg of who they are. So welcome to the show, Molly and Joe.
Hi, Lauren.
Hello.
Nice to be here.
Awesome. How are you both doing?
We're doing great. How about you?
Excellent. Thank you. It's so great to have you on the show. And I just gave a very brief introduction about you. Is there anything else that you wanted to tell the listeners before we jump into a few things?
We are ready to talk about anything, and I don't know if there's anything else. Is there?
No, I think we're good.
We're ready.
Okay, so I know you are relationship experts, and so my first question that I had for you is, What would you say is the foundation to creating a meaningful relationship? It sounds like such a simple question, but I just see in the world around me that so many people don't have that in any capacity. And so just wanted your input on that to start with.
Well, I think we both would agree that one of the most critical things is acceptance of not only yourself, but, you know, the person that you're hoping to be with.
And when I think about acceptance, it's not necessarily that you accept everything about somebody, but you accept that this is who they are in this moment. It's a very kind of a spiritual practice to be accepting of whatever's showing up for your partner in the moment, whatever's showing up for your date in the moment. And it doesn't mean that you agree with all of their choices in life, but that opens the door to a lot more communication and connection.
So how can people learn to be more accepting? Because, you know, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to do it. And most people are not very tolerant, right? And,
yes.
You know, we to some extent we all have our prejudices on to some level or not. So what would you advise someone to become more accepting?
So I think taking a look at how relationships generally go is helpful. So often we get into a relationship and it's all fabulous at the beginning. And then stuff starts to get in the way of that. We start to get irritated by something. We start to feel resentful. We start to have expectations that this person do certain things. And I think looking at all of those things that come up and realizing that they weren't there, you know, 6 months ago, where did they come from? Is this person really substantially different than when we met them, or are we suddenly layering on, you know, different expectations about how they show up, what they do? Do we suddenly want them to change? And when we see that we affect the quality of the connection in the relationship solely by the way we approach and think about our partner, it can open our eyes to the fact that the way that we conceptualize of them and look towards them can have a tremendous impact on how we feel about the relationship as a whole.
Yeah, and I think that's a huge thing, is that people often dismiss the impact of how they showing up.
Right.
And what that's creating.
Yes, absolutely. It's an inside job. Relationships are an inside job. When I'm feeling, first of all, fabulous about myself and willing to take responsibility for whatever's showing up in my emotional space, let's say, then I can be much more present for a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Brilliant. So would you say in your experience that the older people get, or, you know, going into that second significant relationship, that it becomes more difficult to find that or be happy in that because they jaded or they've got these maybe unrealistic expectations or they're so set in their ways that they're inflexible?
Hopefully, it's easier.
I think it could go either way, though, right? Hopefully, it's you know, hey, you've been through the tough relationship, the learning curve, as you will, and now the next one's going to be a bit easier.
But especially if you spend that interim time doing the kinds of self inquiries, self healing, and you know, understanding what your contribution was in your previous relationships and what didn't work. If you do that work in between, you put yourself in a much better position to create something even better the next time.
Right, absolutely.
So we actually talk a lot about, you know, we work with singles a lot, and much of what we do is that assessment, or help them do, is that assessment of, you know, what do they feel didn't work in their previous relationships. So often it's tied to things like low self-esteem. It's no mystery that someone with very low self-esteem is very apt to choose someone as a partner who doesn't hold them in high regard either.
And who will take advantage of them.
So
right.
if we're out of relationship, doing everything we can to come to, you know, have more love, affection, and compassion for ourselves really does elevate us in terms of the kind of person we'll attract into our lives next.
Right, and so it comes back to what we know is that you need to be complete and whole in yourself and not look for someone else to give that.
Well, I think to a certain extent, right? I mean, we're not always completely whole when we go into a relationship, but I think, you know, it's okay to go into a relationship not being completely whole as long as you're not looking for that other person to, you know, complete you or fill that hole.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because a personal growth is, it's a lifelong process, right? And when we both take ownership of our own process of personal growth, and, you know, this takes some awareness to recognize when we're trying to look for somebody or to take care of our issues, or when we're in a relationship and we're pointing the finger at our partner because it's really something that we're feeling insecure about. It takes a lot of self-awareness to recognize when we're doing that. But what's absolutely amazing is that when we can recognize that and stop pointing to our partner, stop looking to someone else to help fix our issues, then we truly can accept the help of a partner, and a partner's much more willing to offer their help when it's not an expectation.
Yeah, it's really tough for a partner to offer his help when you're pointing the finger at him.
Right. No one likes that in any situation. And again, that takes courage, because and you know, that level of maturity to own that.
Yes, it really does. But I think that, you know, if we've had a series of bad relationships, or maybe just one long bad relationship, you know, it's something that we're willing to maybe put a little bit more effort on, because it's so important, you know, relationship.
Yeah, we'd hope so, right?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes we just don't know, you know, we're not taught necessarily in our societies and our families that how to have a good relationship.
No.
This is not something that's taught in school. So we come out into the world having no clue beyond what the media and our families have taught us, which is so often not all that useful. So what Joe said is true. You know, after you've been through a few bad relationships, maybe then you have the impetus to say, wait a second, maybe I need a little bit more, you know, help with how to do this well.
Yeah. Or what's the common denominator in all these relationships, right?
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, no, for sure. And then it's also about being able to communicate, you know, clearly and explicitly and be able to voice what it is you need, A, from someone and within yourself, right? And I think that's also sometimes where things break down, is that people don't necessarily communicate in the best ways.
No, and often their communication is layered with things that they don't even realize are there, like, again, expectations that their partner should do something, resentment that they haven't done it in the past. All of that stuff can be attached to a request for help or whatever it is we're asking. If I would like Joe to go with me to a certain event, you know, the way I ask him could be, oh, would you like to go with me Saturday night? But that sounded very open and free of expectation, but it could come out like something like this. You know, I have that event Saturday night, and it really is something that you should go with me, because, you know, they kind of expect the partners to go. So you're going with me, right?
I'm thrilled.
Joe, you're jumping to go, right? You can't wait.
I'm getting dressed right now.
we use something we call invitation, and it's a very powerful concept in it. And what it requires in order to offer this true invitation that's free of those kind, that kind of underlying expectation and things that feel kind of negative, is to let go of this idea that just by virtue of being my partner, Joe should want to do such and such with me. And it's a big step, but if I can let go of that notion that he should want to do that and say,
right, I love that, yeah.
He's an independent, sovereign human being. He can make whatever choices he wants to in life. Just because he's with me or married to me does not obligate him to do certain things. Then I can ask him in this way that's so free of any attachments that it's an invitation, and it can pull him in. It can draw him into wanting to go with me, like would have been the case had we just started dating.
Right. And it almost always does pull me in when she gives me an invitation. Yeah, it's a huge, huge improvement over an expectation or a demand.
Yeah, I love that. That is awesome. So what would you say are some of the key things that people need to start doing differently to create better relationships?
Well, I think going back to what Molly had mentioned earlier is awareness. You know, self-awareness is so important.
If you're not aware of how you've been in your previous relationships and you are brave enough to do this, go to your previous partners and ask them, what were the three things that I did that really, really bugged you?
Right.
There is so much information there. It's a gold mine.
It takes a brave person to do that, though.
Yeah. But, you know, as you say, it's invaluable, right?
It certainly is.
Yeah, you could probably find more information than that than you could in a year of therapy.
I know. Absolutely. What else? What else would you say in this day and age are important for people to be aware of, to be sensitive to as they navigate this world?
I think one thing is to really take self-inventory of why you want to be in relationship. So often we go in, honestly, with not a real clear picture. Like, we might want companionship, we might be wanting a family in the future, but so often we're just driven to do it and we don't know why, and we don't recognize that there might be components like, I don't feel good about myself and I want someone there to validate me. And those are the things that we can separate out and say, wow, okay, I really need to go on a little pilgrimage of self-love even while I'm pursuing a relationship and take on more of that for myself. Or
right. What would you say are the one or two things that people struggle with the most, or the thing that kind of straw that breaks the camel's back, so to say, in a lot of relationships? Is there a common thread that you've seen in your experience, or not really?
Well, I think that one thing that we've seen is that people let too much stuff build up in relationship. And so by the time that, you know, everything falls apart, there's so many layers and so much built up crap in there that you just don't know what it is maybe you're arguing about this time, you know, and how to start divesting yourself of all of these layers of, you know, built up resentment and anger and frustration.
Yeah, and one of the things that we recommend people to do in our first book, where we talk about how to keep that space clean, is to work with things as they come up. And we know that while we were writing that and people were trying out our ideas, we'd hear, wait a second, that sounds like a lot of work to work with things as they come up. I don't want to have to do that. And like, really? Is it more work than trying to entangle the mess that you've created after years?
Absolutely, yeah.
And when you keep that space clean in your relationship, then you can see any little thing that pops up, right, and deal with it right then, and you know exactly what it is you're working with, right? So we make it a point to keep our space totally clean between us, so there's no upset, no resentment, no frustration.
Nothing to be drawn from the past. When something comes up in the present, you know, it'll draw all this energy from the past that's that similar quality. So if there was
resentment, right.
Yeah, it brings all that into the immediate in the present, and you suddenly feel this wave hit you of, wow, how did this little thing turn into this big thing?
Mm.
hand in hand with that is not to make it work. Relationships are this ongoing exploration, and stuff is going to come up. Relationships serve, one of their big reasons we have them is they serve to bring out what's unconscious or unhealed in us. So things are going to come up. That's part of relationships.
Yes.
It's not going to be totally clean and without any ripples at all. So to understand that together and say, hey, stuff's going to come up. We just don't know when. We don't know what it's going to be around, but we know it's going to happen, and we're going to be there to work with it as best we can together.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, a lot of times I hear from clients even that they don't like confrontation. They just want to keep the peace. But ultimately, as you say, that's just going to build and build and build. And
yes.
Eventually that confrontation or whatever you want to call it is going to happen. And it's going to be so much more explosive and emotionally charged because it has built up and been neglected.
And on its own, that one thing that triggers that ultimate breakdown is probably going to be minor, insignificant.
Absolutely,
but with the backing of everything that's built up that you didn't want to confront along the way, right, it's just going to be this huge snowball of stuff that you've got to work with now. So,
and what's so wonderful about working with the little things is what we have this great opportunity to learn together. When Joe and I, when something comes up and we can talk about it immediately, right, I learn something like, wow, you're right, I was acting this way towards you and I didn't even see it, you know. Thank you for pointing that out to me. I'm going to be more aware of that in the future. And there's this vulnerable piece that really is, it connects us in a very sweet.
Yeah, it really does, because when Molly might say something and I – you know, feel momentarily bad about it, and she sees that, and then she feels awful, and I feel sad for her. It's very sweet.
We can instantly go back and say, okay, what was it that I said, and how was it that you heard that? Oh, I see how it sounded like that. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm going to work on not using that tone of voice with you, you know. I mean, he
right.
feels so honored and loved that I would.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it. Yeah, she's going to acknowledge it, and she's going to do something to change that. I mean, what could be better than that? You know, had we not kept our space clean along the way, and she came with one little thing backed behind, you know, with all this other stuff behind it, we would probably have a much more difficult time working our way through that one thing, because it's not that one thing.
It's not that one thing.
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
And so
everything
I think.
Accumulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think. Also, if people understand that whatever the communication is, that at the end of the day, it's hopefully both people are having it because they want the same end result.
Which is connected.
And that it's,
yeah.
Yeah, and it's for the purpose of creating a better, happier space. And it's mm-hmm. not about right or wrong or pointing fingers, but if we're going to be together, then this is going to help us both. And so it's not a case of it's my, you know, what I need or what you need, but what do we need to be happy, right?
To get to a better place.
What do we,
yeah.
Absolutely. Which is
yeah.
why I was talking a moment ago about defining what it is your relationship, what is it you want from a relationship. We actually call creating a context, a statement of what my relationship is all about. And if it's about a feeling of deep connection, maybe a feeling of deep connection between us that we can share with our family and the world, something like that. When I have a statement like that, when in times of challenges, you know, when you're not thinking straight, the one thing I can do is go, wait a second, why am I here? What's my context for this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, okay, so I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go out and be brave and say, yeah, it didn't sound so sweet what I just said to you, did it? Let's talk about
right.
it.
Right, yeah. Well, I have to say, it certainly sounds like you guys walk the talk and have an awesome connection and communication and relationship, which is so wonderful to hear and experience. I can feel the energy. It feels amazing. So,
we think
thank
it
you. Yeah, no, really, like it's impressive. So I wanted to thank you for sharing that with us and for taking the time to be on the show. I'd love to, again, like have the opportunity to chat to you guys more, maybe have you back on if you'd like to be on the show again. And just before
sure.
you, yeah, before you leave, if you can just share with listeners, you know, where they can connect with you and find out more about what you do.
Sure. Our main website is thesoulmateexperience.com. You can download free chapters from all of our books there. We can be found on Facebook and Twitter. We have large communities there at The Soulmate Experience. And we also have a brand new YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/C/Molly and Joe. That's Mali and Joe. And fabulous videos there.
Yeah, we're really having a lot of fun with that.
All about helping
people brilliant.
Their lives and relationships.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Let's definitely connect offline and get you back on the show as soon as possible. Thank you so much.
That sounds great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Lauren.
Pleasure. My pleasure. So, the end of another show with just awesome guests, great information, as always. And as I always say at the end of every show is, what are you going to do with the information? What are you going to do with what you've heard, what you've learned? Because without taking action, nothing's going to change. And think about what you heard today that resonated with you and where you feel you most need to take action. Keep in mind that this hour is all about you, and if there's anything you would love to hear about on the show, don't hesitate to contact me and let me know. And remember that you can connect with me via Facebook at facebook.com/Lauren Giorno or via my website, laurengiorno.com, where you can also download a free copy of my seven-day mini transformation mastery program. And if you would like to listen to any of my previous shows, remember that you can get those on iTunes and download the podcast. And if you would like to be a guest on my show, please go to lifeissueswithlaurengiorno.com and fill out the registration form and select a date that works for you and your schedule. I want to thank you once again for listening in today and hope you can join me again next week. And until then, embrace your inner truth. Live your purpose and make your contribution in the world today.
You've been listening to Life's Issues with Lauren Giorno on the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.
You share the couch, you share the remote, and if you've got a family plan with those other guys, you're probably sharing your data. But at T-Mobile, you don't have to. Now your family can get four lines with up to 10 gigs of 4G LTE data per line. You heard right. Four lines, 10 gigs per line. Stream, post, and download on the network that has doubled LTE coverage over the last year and added extended range LTE with a signal that goes twice as far and is four times better in buildings. Plus, right now, T-Mobile will even pay your family switching fees up to $650 or more per line when you trade in your smartphones. It's the best value for families. So get 10 gigs for all today, only from T-Mobile.
Switching costs paid with trading credit and Visa prepaid card. Device purchase and qualifying service required. Card issued by MetaBank. Member FDIC. Card expires. Coverage not available in some areas. See T-Mobile store for details.